Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Well, here we go on Circles of Change. There's no better way to start than to have two studio guests, two really top-notch professionals who are doing their own thing for a lot of other people in the fact. So welcome to the leaders of Lead Local Tucson. Welcome to the show, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
You bet. Let me introduce Robin Barreau. She's a PhD, co-founder of Lead Local, a social enterprise with experiential leadership programs for the millennial generation. Robin's been an educator for 25 years in the classroom, from pre-K all the way to being involved in the executive MBA program at University of Arizona. She's led or coached projects within small homegrown nonprofits all the way to some national organizations. Her partner in the change crime here, I'll call it, Brooke McDonald, has a passion for initiating change and making a positive impact in her own backyard. After graduating from the U of A in 2009, Brooke began her career with the Tucson Medical Center Foundation, where she led major fundraising events, raising more than $1.5 million, in fact. She herself is a millennial entrepreneur and thus co-founder of Lead Local. So how fun is this? Though I have to say, ladies, I can't imagine when you let it be known that you were coming upon this idea that people didn't say, what, give up your jobs 9 to 5, particularly during the panic around the recession. Robin, maybe perhaps you could start us on that. What was going on at that time for you?
It was kind of crazy, but I have an incredibly supportive husband, and this is something that we'd been talking about probably for about a year before we actually left our jobs, and it was, you know, the perfect time in terms of kids are a little bit older, and we saw that there was a real need, and Brooke was in a position where she was, I think, ready to step up too.
That's right. Brooke, and what is that real need? Tell me about that.
So, yes, being a graduate from the University of Arizona and sticking around after I graduated, choosing to stay here in Tucson, was something unusual that most of my friends decided not to do. Mm-hmm. And so that was a lot of the conversations that Robin and I started to have, was why are young people choosing to leave our community and not staying here and investing in making this an incredible place to be?
So essentially, Brooke made me quit my job to keep her here in Tucson.
Now, let me back this up, of course. The way you two know each other is through your mutual association, the U of A, right, Robin?
Yep.
You were instructor.
I was.
Had Brooke as one of those wide-eyed students in the process, right?
She was. She was in my class and was an amazing student. And then she worked as a TA as well, and she was a organizational coach because my son didn't want a tutor for my son. And
yes, they're called coaches. Exactly.
Yes.
That's how it works.
Yes.
As coaches.
I said, do you want a tutor? He goes, no, I want an organizational coach. He's like, okay, that's what Brooke is. And then we've just been family
friends. I think that sounds like a reflection of mom. You know, that's sort of like when my daughter in like sixth grade, the teacher said that they were going to do a bake sale to generate money to help refugees in Somalia. My daughter puts her hand up and says, no, we're not. There's no margins in that. And she kind of looked at my. The teacher called me and said, yeah, that kind of came from mom. I got it.
That's great.
So the idea, though, of brainstorming this idea of, you know, first off, it takes compunction to take a leap of faith in some regard, even though, like you said, you brainstormed and worked it for about a year. But again, for both of you, I'll maybe start with you, Brooke. It doesn't sound like, at least the way you studied in college, or you're joining a more traditional organization, particularly one that's going through a fit of change, the whole healthcare field in this mm-hmm. point, that usually would spell big opportunity to say, I need to stick this out, get grounded. But yet, was there always something, though, still tugging at you? Said there was a bigger game, a different game, a game more freedom? What was
that? Yeah, absolutely. So part of what I saw was that many students on campus didn't necessarily receive the same opportunities that I did, as far as having a professor who really made a conscious effort to bring the community into the classroom. And so that was part of what kind of drove this passion for me, and where I told Robin that really was life-changing, because I was able in her class to work on a real-world project that had meaning behind it. And so, that's where I said, how can we bring this to more students, that hands-on project-based type of learning? And at the same time, how can we provide more opportunities for mentorship? Because we see that as being so key, not only because I see Robin as a business partner, but also as a mentor. And so as we were creating Lead Local, we wanted that mentorship piece to be really underline everything that we do. So that's kind of how we've moved forward.
And Robin, Brooke's use of the word bring the community into the classroom. Many of us would say bring companies into the classroom. So obviously you have a broader context that the type of experiences you brought into your own classrooms at the U of A were probably commercial entities, military defense, maybe public service, nonprofits.
So since I've been working in higher ed, which is probably like the last 18 years, I have had, we called them the 90s service learning projects, mm-hmm. which has kind of come back into vogue. For a while, it went away. So we've done service learning projects or projects with field projects, if you will, small businesses.
Sure.
So everything that I've brought into my classroom, and almost every semester that I possibly could, was some sort of community-based project, whether it was for a small business or partnering with the MBA program with their larger clients. But for the most part, we really think that it's more important for those smaller local organizations to really be in the classroom and to be meeting students, because we're so separated from the university in our community, unfortunately. We see the students everywhere, but they're not necessarily connecting with businesses and business owners in a way that they could. And we have such a huge talent gap here that we hope could be filled if there wasn't such silos. So the projects that we did in our class, that I did in my classrooms, I should say, really were those to connect students with opportunities.
Sure. And then Brooke, of course, what you benefited from as a student, if that in your classroom, is there's no question, I suspect, you went back and maybe even reselected different courses in your curriculum. You were heavy influenced in your own direction. I can recall I had the benefit of 3 or 4 internships when I was going through engineering school. I initially thought I wanted to go into computer-aided design. I did that for the first summer. Really didn't like the environment. Thought my eyes were going to be falling out of my head. But the firm I interned with, General Motors, I fell in love with the automobile business and ended up spending 15 years there. Mm. So that's that idea, that relevant hook. Now, tell us about the programs then that Lead Local has, you know, and then given birth to, because this isn't just touching college-age students. You're also in the high schools.
We are, which is not where we thought we'd start.
Just classic for
joys of startup.
We knew that there was a real need at the university. There are people doing project-based learning in amazing ways. The Eller College has excellent programs, and there are pockets of it throughout the university, but there are so many students that need so much more connection. So where we started was providing team-based internships where they come on and do a consulting project for a local organization. And then we pair them with a young professional who serves as their mentor and project lead. And we provide coaching and support for both the team and the young professional as they move through the project. So they're not flying blind. It's more like a seminar, a supported seminar. And we started there, and we had a lot of interest from people in high school, which was very interesting.
Well, I think the other thing, Brooke, you were telling me when you and I met for the first time is that young professional who you tapped to be the coach for this team, you're essentially accelerating some supervisory team guidance skills for them that regardless of where they're working, they might not get the chance to sit in that chair quite so soon.
Yes, which was something that was driven out of my own interest and interest of other young people that I saw around me for wanting to go beyond the leadership book or, conference, which can be a great start, but actually having that hands-on experience with a team where you're able to, you know, try a few things and maybe fail and learn that failure is okay, and where you have a safe place to fail as opposed to in your workplace where you may not have the opportunity. So that was a big component of what we wanted to provide.
So tell us the story. I think so last year you had a particular team-based project with high school students with a mentor. Can you tell us the story behind that?
So once we went through our first semester with undergrads, we our pilot program, we had four projects with four teams of undergrad students and four young professionals coming from a variety of careers. I mean, we had an engineer from Raytheon who was leading a team of five undergrad students to complete a project for Tucson Medical Center, which was something that, you know, you wouldn't normally see happening. So once we wrapped up that semester, we found a high school teacher who actually attended one of our events said, how can I bring this into my classroom? Because I see a real need and a desire for high school students to do similar work. So that's when we launched Connect Ed, which is where we are bringing community projects into high school classrooms and providing support and training for a teacher to actually integrate that project into their curriculum.
So we have two high school programs. One is Connect Ed that Brooke was talking about. The other is a three-week, we call it corporate immersion program, where the high school students come in the summer and work with us at CoLab, completing a project. And last summer, 10 students went through and completed projects for Tucson, I guess it's the Children's Museum of Tucson, is the correct way to say that now.
That's right.
And then also for Tucson Values Teachers.
So tell us about that project with the Children's Museum. I mean, what better place to turn high school kids loose than in the Children's Museum? Because, you know, they've been forced to grow up too fast anyways, and I'm sure they'd rather go back and be kids.
They had so much fun, didn't they?
Yeah, it was amazing. And I have to say, they looked more like young adults than they did kids because they were really amazing. They were the skills that they were able to develop in 3 weeks, as far as they were actually creating curriculum for the Children's Museum to use for two of their exhibits that's now being it's spread throughout Tucson. Teachers in first through third grade classrooms are actually using this curriculum before they come to the museum, and this was all done by high school students, which
was
amazing.
It was amazing. And part of what was so great about the process is we took them through an innovation process. So they were coming, not only did they have to go and do their best practices and secondary research, but then they also had to go through kind of the venture process and do rapid experimentation, take their curriculum and try it on real kids and make sure it actually worked for themselves, align it with the Common Core as well as the state standards, and then present that to their families. And there were community members there too, but it was a really amazing event. They did a great job.
Well, there's something about, and for our listeners who are leaders in companies, of course, we know that turning loose a group of fresh new employees, whether they be millennials, new college grads, college interns, just even people you've brought in from outside the firm, all sorts of new things start happening because they're not necessarily bringing baggage of it not working before or you didn't grow up here, etc. And what life lessons to at least instill in these young people, also the confidence. To your point, well, they didn't look or act like high school students. I mean, my mantra was always, you have to act like where you want to be, not necessarily where you are. And that works tremendously well in business, for sure.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that was really wonderful when we were working with the high school students last summer was we asked them where they wanted to be and what their hopes were. And we made this short little video so that they could see themselves. And they all had such big dreams and felt so much more confident sharing that when we were towards the end of the project. Then at the beginning, we said, what do you want to do? And they were like, really didn't know. But having completed something for a real organization and going through that was such a confidence booster and so huge in their lives, I think.
And that can really, particularly if they had any doubt about pursuing college, perhaps, or some post-high school learning experience, whether it be community college or internship or join the military, whatever the case may be, they can do it with a different lift in their step.
Yes.
So, Brooke, how does Lead Local define a leader?
Well, we asked ourselves that in the very beginning when we started, and we pored over all this, you know, the theories of leadership, and we thought, you know, there's a lot of great definitions out there, and we decided we kind of wanted to form our own definition of what a leader is. And a big element of that for us is an individual who has the ability to share a vision and engage others in making that vision happen. And that's a lot of what we focus on when we are bringing young professionals in to guide these teams of students. If there's no vision from the beginning, then we're all in trouble. So that's a big element of leadership in our book. And I think another piece that Robin has actually taught me is also the ability to be authentic in your leadership. Because everyone has kind of their own unique style, and if you are trying to be this, you know, level five leader or whatever it may be is like, you know, the definition in the book, it's difficult because you are your own person. So it's
well, the other piece of it is those books have been obsoleted so many times over with the rate of change, and what the principles and modalities and styles that worked in the past absolutely are not necessarily, you know, in position for the future, particularly working with multiple generations of people in the workforce.
And that's the truth.
The fallout is huge. In fact, that would be my question is, I'm hearing it's almost by happenstance you ended up with now an offshoot of your initial intent, which was high schoolers. But in general, the focus on millennials. Robin, why is that? Other than we obviously your partner is a millennial, but...
Well, it was all Brooke's fault. But really, I think over the last 20 years plus that I've been teaching, I saw a real change in the way young people came into the classroom and into the workplace, and not necessarily a bad change, just a change. And I think that's a result of many, many different things. Industries changing, our economy changing, our schooling system changing. And so I think that the millennial generation has this just stellar energy about them and ways of connecting. And the more we can harness that optimism and energy and collective move towards something better mm-hmm. that they have, we can learn so much from them and really move all of our agendas and our communities forward.
I would also add, with my own experience with millennials and having a son in college and a daughter fast approaching her big leap as well into college, is that they aren't necessarily focused on just the traditional path mm-hmm. by which they would make a difference in this life. And notice I didn't say make money, be happy, etc. It's making a difference. And
yes.
That's a very different approach. And as you say, there's been a cavalcade of shifts, whether it be the hollowing out of the middle class or the lack of the opportunity they might have had to have even minimum wage jobs in high school like my generation did.
Right.
It's a whole different game for them.
It is. It's completely different. And part of that probably comes from the fact that I have kids that are millennials, too.
Yeah, that's true. So you're getting schooled at home.
I'm getting schooled
as teacher.
At home.
The teacher, the student, the student is the teacher. Mm-hmm. Brooke, how can people learn more about the Lead Local and be the change in our community?
So we do have a web presence,
of course,
on Facebook and our website, which is leadlocal-tucson.com. And we encourage people of all ages to engage with what we are doing. It's not just millennials who can be a part of this change. So we have, as we mentioned, the programs for high school students, track and field, which is this summer, and also our Connect Ed program, which is bringing the projects into the classroom. We also are connecting with businesses and nonprofits in the community who want to support mm-hmm. Investing in young people and giving them an opportunity to have these real world experiences so that when they do come out of college or high school that they're, you know, prepared for the real world and to make a difference.
And I can say myself personally, for the years I was in corporate America, always looking to seed my organization with young and fresh talent, is there's so much reverse mentoring that happens, not just the logical transcending one, that to put a brand new young person in there who keeps saying, now why are we doing it this way? You know, and of course, coaching them on how you might want to say that in slightly different reasons so you don't get shown the door, right? But that's part of course, the training that I'm certain in the backup facilitation you're giving your young professionals who are coaching these teams.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. So that's the other call for interest, obviously, is if there are any young professionals out there listening to us today that would like to be part of coaching some of these teams and themselves amping up their own leadership skills by doing it, not just talking about doing it, that this would be a great, great venue.
It's an amazing opportunity. We have seen such change in the young professionals that have come through our program.
Yeah, in biggest way. What's the biggest way you think you've seen them change?
One of the young women that has just came through was talking about how she was not so sure that she was in the right position. And through the work that she's done, she's realized that actually she is in the right position and she has completely turned her own attitude around.
So she's even found that her own motivatability, she was able to test them out, like you said, Brooke,
mm-hmm.
a little test
mm-hmm.
drive both ways to make it work. Well, thank you very much for joining us today again, Robin Bro and Brooke McDonald, her co-founders of Lead Local Tucson. It's LEADLOCAL, obviously, -tucson.com. Wish you all the best for our youth, for our millennials, and actually the double back effect on economic development and retaining the brains that we've got here that come from our various institutions here at Tucson. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.